I'm Marco Werman, and this is The World. Depression and suicide, difficult to talk about, even harder to laugh about. I know for many people it's downright impossible to find any humor in a discussion about these topics. But recently I saw an animated film from Latvia about depression and suicide that, yes, had me laughing. And shaking my head because we're trained to think of depression and suicide as taboo. The film is called Rocks in My Pocket by writer, director, and animator Signe Baumann. Your biography at Vimeo states, Signe was born in Latvia, educated in Moscow, lives in New York. She has had sex and made 15 animated shorts. So, sex and animation, that's you in a nutshell?
Oh, I guess now since I made a feature film, the whole thing about depression, I should probably add that I get depressed twice a year. So, yes, my life in a nutshell is thoughts about sex every 9 seconds and being depressed every 12 seconds.
I mean, the way you present that, yeah, oh, I forgot to put depression on the list. I mean, that's really what this film is about. And it is, believe it or not, it is a funny film about depression. You open with a frank discussion of the precautions a person should take hanging themselves, including wearing a diaper. Tell me about that opening scene and why you kind of start there with, you know, all guns a-blazing.
I started the film by writing my crazy thoughts, how I would not kill myself. For example, I would never jump under a subway car because that would delay all the other people behind me. Just that's the way the person I am. And I thought that thought process was so absurd and funny. It's like, why would you even think this way, right? And while I was writing it down, I started to write about my family. I wanted to investigate where my crazy thoughts are coming from. And the family history is so rich that once I started to write the family history, I just forgot everything else and I wrote it.
Your grandmother's story herself, a woman who longed for the fine life, who ends up in the forests of Latvia, milking cows basically till, you know, to her death. I mean, how much did your family know about the stories you were putting out on this film while you were producing it? Did you tell them?
I told my mom in a very kind of general senses. I said, well, I'm writing this script and this is what I'm working on. And she told it to my dad. It's dad's family. And dad told his siblings and everybody freaked out. And they started to call him on a weekly basis, telling him to stop me.
Have they seen either the English or Latvian version of the film?
Yeah, we had Latvian premiere in August. And 600 people came to the premiere. And 60 of those 600 people were my relatives. Mm. The younger generation, the children of my cousins, they came to me and said, oh my God, we never knew this. There are these black holes in the family that we never could like find the truth about it. And now we know. And not only that, we also know who we are because now we know that we are not freaks, you know, because we have all these feelings and these bouts of these of the pain, and now we know where it's coming from. And the older generation came to me and said, how dared you? How dared you reveal family secrets? Now Everybody in the world knows that our family is crazy and nobody will marry our young generation.
I mean, either they don't have a sense of humor, those members of your family, or they don't share your concern about the genetics of mental illness. I mean, do they not want to address it?
If you cover something up, if you push it under the bed, it doesn't exist. So it's not genetic. If I don't look at it that way, it's not genetic. And I think that's why these secrets get pushed under the bed.
I want to talk here a little bit about the treatment of mental health during the Soviet Union. Let's hear a clip. This is you meeting your first psychiatrist. And remember, this is an animated feature.
The local psychiatrist looked at me with a stern expression. Her eyes were bloodshot and milky. Her husband, an ear, throat, and nose specialist, had an unlimited access to pure alcohol, the power of which he believed in so much that he treated most of his patients, including himself, with the spirits. His wife, obviously, had access to some psychotropic medication, and it was apparent that before she prescribed them to anybody, she first tested them on herself. The sacrifices doctors must make.
Yeah, and then we see the psychiatrist who you've drawn with these enormous legs. I mean, she's pretty frightening, and just the way you describe her. I'm curious about the use of pharmacology for mental illness in the former Soviet Union. How hard was it to fight their version of therapy?
You can't fight. It was the healthcare in Soviet Union was reflecting pretty much the government itself, which was authoritarian. And so these little individuals who were in position of power, of this micro power over other people, they exercised it in a full extent, you know. So this person, this woman, this psychotherapist, she decided what was my treatment. She decided what was my diagnosis, and she checked me into a mental hospital without really investigating deeper. Did I really have to go to mental hospital?
So would you consider yourself involuntarily kind of committed to an asylum?
Resistance was not what you did in Soviet Union unless you were a dissident. So you just go along. She said, I want you to go to the hospital right now. And I said, okay. And, you know, that was it. I was checked into the car and I was taken to the mental hospital.
The film begins with your character in this kind of Sisyphus-like scenario, pushing a giant boulder up a hill. And the ending, it seems, you watch your character continue in this struggle to live with mental illness. And let's just hear one more clip from the end that really affected me.
I do remember the pink, green, and yellow pills that my Latvian doctor insisted I take. I do not take those pills. They would dull my pain, make it more endurable. The soft pillow of pills would enwrap my existence and distort the perspective. My perspective, which is that I have to walk the thin line between sanity and insanity.
Something tells me that animation helps you navigate that world between sanity and insanity, but I want you to tell me if I'm right and just briefly how that works.
Well, animation can show something that you cannot see. In Rocks in My Pockets, I can actually show depression. As a character, I can visualize and I can show it to other people. I can share with images. And when you communicate something in an image and you can look at it, it becomes less scary. You can actually poke a finger at it and laugh. And for me, laughter is the best medicine, however you look at it. Especially if you can share the laughter. It's very powerful.
Signe Baumann, the writer, director, and animator of Rocks in My Pocket. A lot of people should see this eye-opening and funny film, Signe. Thank you very much for the interview.
Thank you.